Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Good morning. And welcome back to the garage here at the Frat House Radio Sports Network. Well, this is it. We've been counting it down. We've gone through 8 chase races for the Sprint Cup. We've gone through the Challenger round and the Contender round. Now, today we'll see the conclusion of the Eliminator round. And elimination, really, that's exactly what we're going to see happen today out west in Phoenix. You know, with just 2 races remaining in the 2014 season, what we know is that we really just don't know precisely which 4 drivers are going to be vying for the championship next weekend down in Miami Homestead. In addition, PIR hosts all 3 national series this weekend, just as Texas did last weekend. So the title hopes in both of NASCAR's lower-tiered Camping World Truck Series and Nationwide Stock Car Series are also ticking down. And they're going to wrap up next week as well in Florida. So we're going to review where those series stand and who the favorites are with just 1 race remaining next Sunday. I believe I am joined on the line this morning with my crew chief up on the pit box, Brandon. Good morning, yep. Brandon. You're there.
Yes, I am. And, good
morning. Yes, indeed. We're going to chat up some expectations and speculation. And I guess I have a question to kind of throw out to our audience this morning, Brandon, and yourself and myself. We can chew on it a little bit. Who are really the contenders and who are the pretenders with 1 remaining roll of the dice, a green flag drop today? So for those folks who are out there, you can feel free to climb aboard with us here. Buckle up. For sure, this is going to be a bumpy ride as we discuss where we've been over the last couple of weeks going into today's final elimination cutoff. And don't hesitate. Reach out with your thoughts and opinions if you have them with us. You can do that via Skype if you're listening from home on your PC and you're Skype capable, or do it the old tried and true method, and that is pick up the phone and give us a call, 347-826-9964. Well, Brandon, we had it's been a pretty packed weekend as far as NASCAR was concerned. I sat and watched all of the series, and we're going to discuss those. You can see I've got the leaderboard up for the Sprint Cup series, so let's start with that, and let's start it this way. We're looking at these top 8 contending drivers for the title, but are all of the drivers really contenders, or are some of these 8 drivers just sort of pretenders, maybe a little bit lucky, maybe a little bit fortunate to find themselves where they are? Or in fact, maybe I'm completely bonkers, and all of these 8 drivers actually do deserve to be in spots 1 through 8 vying today for the finale prior to going down south next week to Miami Homestead. So I throw it to you. I throw it to the audience. Tell me a couple of maybe contenders that you've seen throughout the year, whether they're in the chase or not, and maybe throw a name or two of a driver you think might be a pretender who has run all year. Maybe he's in the chase. Maybe he's not. Maybe she is. I should, you know, obviously we'll include Danica. But what's your – well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be that way. But at the same time, what's your thought on that? We have contenders, we have pretenders. What do you have a thought on that? Any contenders you think that should be there, maybe that aren't?
Well, if we're just going to look at the first the eight chase guys that are left first, I would have to say, yeah, we have mostly contenders. 50-50 maybe. I mean, I always saw Kevin Harvick, who's in eighth right now, as probably one of the best leaders to win in my book. He's been dominant cars. He's had some bad luck, especially earlier in the season, not finishing races, engine issues, et cetera, flat tires. I think Jeff Gordon has made himself a contender throughout the year. I probably wouldn't have said that early on, but he's certainly impressed me the last few weeks. He's like digging in, and he's serious about this. Now, if you want to go to the other side of the coin, the guy sitting in second place, Denny Hamlin, is kind of looking like a pretender to me. He does not seem – I don't know why. I know it's hard to say. The guy's probably going into the Final Four, could end up walking away with the championship. But he doesn't seem to me to have, you know, that desire, that grit that, you know, Gordon and Harvick have been showing lately. And I would also throw Matt Kenseth in that group. Even though Kenseth did get into a little scuffle with Keselowski the other week, he still doesn't ever – I don't know. Neither one of them are ever really charging up front, leading for the race, to win a race. Now, you could probably say the same thing about Ryan Newman, but Ryan Newman, I look at a little differently, and I don't like Ryan Newman, but Ryan Newman has been so consistently running up front. He's put himself in a position to be where he is, you know, just out of sheer determination, it seemed, because they don't have the – That team's, you know, going through a lot of restructuring right now. They lost Kevin Harvick, their big name driver. It's his first season there. It's Austin Dillon's first season there. You know, who's the anchor of that team? It's more than likely going to be Ryan Newman, unless they sign somebody bigger in the offseason. But, you know, to be in third overall after all that, I mean, Denny Hamlin and Joe Gibbs have been there together for quite a while, and this is Ken's second season with Gibbs. So, you know, that's why, you know, I don't call them the same. Now, I'll also throw a nod out to their teammate Kyle Busch and Dale Jr. as contenders, because I think those two both want to win every week, and they've run good all season, and by circumstance, they're not there. Right. So,
yeah,
that's pretty much how I see it.
Okay, I appreciate that. And, you know, not for nothing, I think the sport, although it's attempted to offer the parity and offer the balance of this playoff knockout round contention, I think the sport did suffer by not having a junior and by not having a Kyle in the top eight for this, especially today. Because I would agree with you. I think both of those drivers want to win every time they get behind the wheel. I don't think there's any doubt. And they are compelling. They are compelling. And they're both somewhat polarizing. You know, you either love them or you hate them. There aren't too many people that are either on the fence with Kyle or just halfway with Junior. You either want them to win or you don't. But I would agree we could probably swap out a little more of a milquetoast driver like Carl Edwards sitting in sixth place right now. You know, I look at Carl Edwards' numbers, and no disrespect, because I you know, essentially I do like him. And, of course, speaking of Gibbs, he's going to be jumping over and becoming that fourth driver. But Carl Edwards ranked sixth. He's run 34 starts all year. He only had two wins. He had not won a pole all year. Seven top fives, 14 top tens, 135 total laps led throughout 34 races. To me, he's borderline pretender. He's one of those that, yeah, he's fun to watch and he can be compelling. But I didn't feel it all year, and I sit back, frankly, scratching my head, that he might actually make it through the window. And, of course, that window closes today. We're going to see four going to Homestead next week to vie for the whole McGilla Gorilla, and he might be in that. I agree with you essentially on the Hamlin and Kenseth thing. Hamlin sits pretty, And I guess I'd throw him a prop just because he's run one less race than everybody else. Of course, as we remember, he did not run all 34 this year. But, you know, Hamlin's had a win. He's won the pole three times. You know, sort of like Edwards, top five, he's got six. Top 10, he's got 16. Less than 300 laps led. But, you know, there he sits. So he, too, is kind of a sort of a pretender from the standpoint of when you look at the numbers and you stack them up against, boy, who really should have been there? Those two jump out at me from the top eight as possible pretenders. Boy, I'll tell you, contenders, I got it. My hat's off to those Chip Ganassi guys because they've just gotten stronger and stronger and stronger all year long. And, you know, Jamie McMurray, driving the one car, has put together probably five exceptionally good efforts during this chase portion. And there's Kyle Larson. I mean, I don't know that he will win Rookie of the Year, but I find it hard to believe maybe that he won't win Rookie of the Year this year in the Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't see any way he doesn't win. He's definitely put himself out there head and shoulders above Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon's had a nice season, and any other year would be your rookie, not with Kyle Larson. No, he's run up front too much. And he, as you said, he could still pick off a win at one of these last two races.
Yeah, you know, particularly, right.
I do agree on you a little bit with the Carl Edwards thing being a pretender. But I'm kind of giving him a pass because they're in a wind-down mode, you know. He's going next season to another team. And, you know, Roush is in a restructure. So, you know, the fact he's made it this far is quite surprising, to be honest with you. And if he goes to the Final Four, wow, you know.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that just be sort of the most ironic thing for that reason? And I think you would agree. That's not to, again, not to disrespect him, and it's not as though Edwards just rolled over
absolutely.
And he's been lame duck. I think he really has attempted to finish well, especially through the chase portion, when in fact he could have probably just more or less sat back, put his feet up, and said, "Well, you know, I'm running for fun now because this really doesn't make a whole lot of hoot and holler for me." The thing about Edwards, he did rebound nicely because in the three races of this eliminator session, he didn't have the best finish at Martinsville. That put him in 20th. Actually, he finished 20th, and he was actually not in the best position. But last week, he ran very solid. He got a top 10. He picked up a ninth-place finish at Texas.
I think you're going to see a solid run today as well. He runs well at Phoenix. So I really believe you're going to see a, you know, I mean, he might end up being in there. I mean,
he could.
You know, it comes down to this. We got eight guys that are all within, you know, a few points of each other. Okay. Any one of the top three could still not go. And any one of the bottom four still could go. And they all could either go in points or if one of them wins, clearly that'll make them, you know, a winner in the mix. So, to today's race, the important key is winning. I don't think I've ever seen – I think there's probably as big an emphasis on this week to win as there's going to be next week to win. Because to get a path to the race that you could be the champion, you might as well consider yourself needing to win this race to get to the race that you need to win to become the champion.
You're absolutely right. Yep. This is what's great about this is a playoff, a one-and-done playoff today – to have a one-and-done playoff for the finale next week. So, I mean, you want to talk about kind of ramping up the tension and ramping up the drama. Really couldn't have been scripted better, wouldn't you say?
Well, if you look at it realistically, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, and Ryan Newman are the only ones you can safely say get in with a top-five finish because of they get a little bit of a gap on the others. Jeff Gordon, in fourth, could finish second and be eliminated if somebody wins who's below him, because he would then become the fourth person in points and would then be out, provided the other three are, you know, still in the top five, top ten. So, I mean, that's how close it is. You can't be in fourth and finish second in this race and be guaranteed to be in. That's how tight this scenario goes. And, you know, the only way a guy like, you know, Keselowski or Edwards or, you know, even Kenseth guarantees himself is a win. And Harvick, of course, is in that group too, and I know it. And he's my odds-on favorite today. I think Kevin Harvick's going to go out there and just put a whipping on everybody because Kevin Harvick's been running well all year. That team is focused, and I think Kevin Harvick wants this championship, and he knows the best way to get there is to knock the door down here at Phoenix. And he won here earlier this year, and I think you're going to see much of the same today. That's just my guess.
All right, I like it. Rising from the ashes like a phoenix. I think we have on the line our very own Fred House sidekick. Is that possibly true? Sidekick, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am.
Hey, now. So listen, we're chatting up over here who we thought were contenders and maybe who we thought were pretenders, be it the eight Chase finalists that we're looking at today going into Phoenix or throughout the year. You have a thought? Anybody you want to throw out there? Throw a name. We're naming names. Contenders, pretenders. Who do you like? Who didn't you like this year?
Well, you know, looking at the Chase right now, we've got Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano sitting at the top, tied for first place. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Joey Logano's average finish at Phoenix is 15.9. So mm-hmm. Phoenix is not always a good track for Joey. And, you know, a couple other name pretenders you were throwing out there. You know, you were talking about Edwards. You know, Newman and Kenseth, with their no wins this season, I think, you know, they're trying to buck the system. But they're kind of pretenders here. You know, they don't have any wins. They don't mm-hmm. even have any wins, you know, regular season or in the chase. Newman average finish is 17.5. while Kenseth's average finish is 17.1.
Mm-hmm.
So,
boy,
you know,
throw them in a bag and shake them up. It doesn't matter which one comes down.
Right. So, you know, you're looking at potentially the points leader, you know, one of the points leaders right now, looking at, you know, coming into a track he's not necessarily good at. He could get bounced out.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously our no-win guys, you know, they don't run the best here. Keselowski, his average finish here is 15.7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's going to have to pull off some magic to try and, you know, because he's sitting in seventh right now.
Right.
You got Harvick. Now, Harvick, at least his average finish is 10th, as well as Edwards. And then Hamlin's average finish is 11th. So, you know, those three guys, you know, could make some noise here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. The Newman thing just blows me away. I mean, you're right. I mean, he's ranked third. He's run 33 races. He has no wins. He has not ever won a pole through the year. He's only had four top fives, 15 top tens throughout the entire year, and he's led a whopping 41 laps in 34 races. But there he sits, essentially at number two, if we're going to say that Hamlin and Logano are tied at one, that would make Newman two. I know the math is almost upside down, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with both of you. The only thing I differ on is Newman. I know, Sidekick, you think he's a pretender. You got to look at his circumstances, though, with that team for them to be where they are. That team's kind of like, nobody expected an RCR guy when they named their roster to be anywhere near where Newman is. I mean, Newman's third in points and, you know, is almost an odds-on favorite to move forward. You know, I mean, they lost Kevin Harvick. They lost their big name guy in their stable. I mean, Paul Menard is not a bad racer, but he's certainly not in the upper echelon. Neither is Austin Dillon. He's a rookie. And I don't think anybody considers Newman one of the top-tier guys. So, I think being there, even though he hasn't won, says a lot about what they're doing. That's the only difference I see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, and I do agree with you. I don't mean pretender necessarily.
And I don't I don't like him either.
Yeah,
so I don't want you to think I'm, you know, going there. So,
well, let's have a look at Texas from last week. Could we do that? Maybe, you know, we had a lot of Breaking Bad happening last week with the Jeff Gordon, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick. I'm going to shove you back in it, instigating some more nonsense. the fireworks that have occurred post-race over the last two races, man, has been something that I guess NASCAR has to be sitting back and kind of rubbing their hands about. I mean, right? It didn't necessarily impact ratings, but interestingly enough, we saw viewer ratings and the television share actually boost up prior to last week's race in Texas. And, of course, it was followed by some great drama at the end. You know, fists were flying, people were getting cut, people are getting socked. What do you think? I mean, are we going to calm it down now? Today's Phoenix. This is cut day. I mean, we can't have the shenanigans, or shall we expect more? Who's got a thought?
Well, I think you could see some retribution. I think you could see somebody paying back Mr. Keselowski. I wouldn't want to be him. He's driving around with the bullseye on his back today, in my book. Mm-hmm. Also, Logano. I mean, Logano's ruffled a lot of people's feathers throughout the season. I mean, there's a little lingering disdain between him and Danica Patrick. You know, some of that kind of stuff, this is the last chance they're going to get to repay any, what you would call, slights from prior races. So it could get interesting. I think it's certain. If any of that happens, yes, you will see an all-out brawl on pit road again.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Keselowski was really out of line in what he tried to do on that last restart and shoot the gap? I mean, do you really think it was, or would you have done the same? Because I'll be honest, speaking for myself and having seen the video on track, the on-track stuff, not the off-track, you know, the post-race drama, but looking at it, which, of course, you know, that's what's great. You have cars that have cameras, so you can actually see essentially what the driver is seeing and perceiving. He saw a gap, man. He shot the gap. Gordon moved up the track. Oh, he saw him in the mirror. I'm going to move down. I'm going to close that gap. There was contact made, rubbing his racing. I don't have a problem exactly with what Brad Kez was trying to do there.
Well, here's where I see the problem, is every driver's calling him out, you know, like, and saying he's doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. So, I don't know. I agree. I like aggressive driving generally. But, I mean, I've heard comments to the, you know, from some of these guys saying that he's going to kill somebody. He's driving, you know, way over his head, putting a car in positions he shouldn't be in, that kind of thing. You know, we've heard that before about other guys, too. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Sidekick? You think he's in line or out of line?
Well, I think Harvick summed it up best. Keselowski is in full bulldoze mode.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I went back and I looked at the video. And obviously, this is one of these debates that falls down along fan lines. You know what I mean? You got all the Gordon and the Hendrick fans out there crying foul. You got all the Keselowski fans out there saying, "What foul?" You know, looking at it from a more of a neutral position, you know, looking at the video and stuff, I don't think the issue is shooting the hole. Yeah, that's what she said, right? because like Keselowski said, he made a good point. If he didn't take it, Harvick would have took it. Okay? I'm not arguing that fact.
Right.
But I think if Harvick takes that hole and he shoots through there, Gordon doesn't get wrecked. But Keselowski,
so you perceive Harvick as being a better driver to stay in control over Keselowski.
Right. I think Keselowski was too aggressive, shot in, went in there, and he wound up making contact with Gordon. And that's where the foul is. No one's arguing that you're shooting the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot the hole with control.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be trying to lean on, you know, shoot in a hole and then say, "Oh, you know what? Worst comes to worst, if I don't get in there, I'll lean on Gordon and I'll get through there." That's just bad, you know. That's just bad racing there. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're, you know, at this point when, you know, guys are trying to, you know, go for championships and stuff. You know, it hurt Gordon, but it didn't hurt him that bad. You know what I mean? We saw him drop for, I think, second last week. He's now in fourth.
Yeah, right.
You know, so he's on the bubble. You know, and obviously tensions are a little high. You're on the bubble, you know, where you were in second. And you were running really well. So you were probably going to cement your place in second.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I agree with, you know, Harvick and Gordon and all those guys. I don't think there's any need for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I understand you're trying to win a championship. You're sitting in seventh in points right now, and you're trying to make something happen. You know, but you got to keep control of your car.
Well, certainly through the eight races that we have run of this chase segment, you know, Charlotte comes to mind, Martinsville comes to mind, Texas comes to mind with exactly what we're seeing, and that is increased anxiety, increased tension, increased drama. One mistake makes possibly the difference between running again next week in a championship versus not. Now, with the fallout of this particular post-race activity in Texas, we've all seen the video. I mean, it was mad, men, what went on. There had to be a dozen or more people involved as this thing escalated, especially after Harvick, you know, kind of shoved Keselowski back in there, essentially saying, "Hey, go face your critic over there. He's got a question for you." And this thing just blew up. You know, what did we hear though this week? We heard essentially there are going to be penalties to six crew members, two of them crew chiefs, extended suspensions, and of course fines were levied, but essentially they were all against the poor working man. They were against the crew members. You know, what do we have here, a case of rich man's war and a poor man's fight? I mean, am I wrong on this? As far as I'm concerned, you know, going back to Casey Mears and Marcus Ambrose early in the year when they had their dust up, you know, there probably were some crew chiefs and some crew members involved in some of that pushing and shoving too. But the drivers were the target in that case. We didn't see that with NASCAR. In this case, once again, what we've seen from NASCAR is we're going to make a very level decision to do nothing against the drivers. I don't know. Was it the right thing for the sport? Was it the wrong thing? Am I completely off base? What do you think? Sidekick, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit surprised. Not so much at the drivers not getting a penalty, because they were talking about they were kind of trying to, you know, peel things back last season where, you know, they wanted to see potentially, you know, drivers get a little bit up in each other's faces and get a little emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good for ratings.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, the pit crews, though, you know, suspensions and, you know, it was hard. I'm sure they sat down and they looked through that tape and that. But, you know, I do agree with their standpoint that the crew chiefs are in charge. And do you find the crew chiefs? Sure, for the crews getting out of hand, because this was quite a, you know, a brawl that went on down on pit road. It
mm-hmm.
took just a little while. You know, it's not a little kind of skirmish where, you know, there's a couple punches thrown and people kind of settle back down. You know, I mean, it was a full on Pier 6, you know, brawl there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I didn't see any of Keselowski's crew members.
I know.
You know, it was. You know, it was.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Sidekick there.
Did we lose him?
I think where he was getting at is we only saw Hendrick guys find
right.
Not any of.
Absolutely, but.
There you go. Now he's dropped.
Yeah, we lost him there.
Hey,
well,
anyway.
Yeah. Essentially, yes. Go ahead, Brandon. I mean, you know, we didn't see any members from the Penske number 2 car fall under a sanction or suspension. I mean, it seems to me, yeah, as Sidekick was saying, They looked hard at the video. I'm not going to lie. I didn't examine it completely, but it seems to me I thought I saw some white fire suits involved in that. I don't think they were
all the evidence you need is look at Kreslowski and Gordon's face. They were both clearly in a fight.
Oh, they got something going.
I don't think Gordon's own guys or Casey Kane's guys were beating on Gordon. Somebody was throwing fists at Gordon. So, you know, do I agree? I just want them to be consistent. How about that? You know,
right.
they on the other fight you had brought up earlier in the season with Marco Sambros, yeah, they fined the drivers and Casey Mears. Why now, these last two incidents, are we not touching the drivers? I think, if anything, I like the way they're doing it now. They should have left Ambrose and Casey Mears alone. And as far as finding the pit crew do? I mean, if you're not going to find the drivers, you're more or less condoning it. So why even bother finding the crew chiefs? That's my opinion. I mean,
right.
You know, you're more or less if you're NASCAR and you're not finding Gordon or Keselowski after this, you're saying, okay, this is acceptable. Go for it. So why find
we've become a nation of wusses.
Yeah, maybe we have. Maybe we have. And I would agree. And listen, didn't we hear, and I think we have Sidekick back with us on the line.
Yeah, sorry. I'm all wireless.
That's okay. We appreciate you coming in. And you're coming in a couple hours behind us because you're in St. Louis time. What we did hear essentially was, and it goes to your point, Brandon, something of a tacit approval. What did Hendrick as an organization say? Hendrick Motorsports came out and said, listen, we're going to pick up the tab for this. We're not going to make our chiefs and our crew members have to come up and dole out the money to NASCAR. We're going to pick this up. So in a funny way, yeah, while it appears that there's money moving, on paper, and there were sanctions, and we're all going to step back and kind of hang our head and feel bad for a minute. Essentially, this was a whole lot of nothing from NASCAR in terms of bringing down a judgment, in bringing down, you know, an upholding of the rule. This is not good for the sport of NASCAR. We've got to eliminate this, and we are going to do that by fining, and we're going to do that by suspension. I feel badly for, like I say, the working men who are suspended and cannot go forward. I mean, quite frankly, Gordon sitting in the number four spot today, yeah, fine. He's 12 points off the lead. He's lost vital members of his crew who are suspended today. Now, you know, you can look at it like other bat and ball sports and say next man up. But I think, you know, technically speaking, I think that's a tremendous loss. If you're a driver at this level and you've lost two or three key people from your pit crew and they're not going to be here, or, you know, essentially, this is it. This is the last day. Wow. Got to be tough. That's got to be tough. And I agree. I think something maybe should be done in terms of that for next year. What do you all think out there? 347-826-9964. We're chatting up the NASCAR stuff. Specifically, you know, some of the shenanigans from last week at Texas Motor Speedway. And talking that, I mean, was it a rich man's war and a poor man's fight? All those guys getting fined, but the drivers essentially, hey, well, they hop in their trailers and they move on. Now, listen, here's where we can go. We've gone about halfway through our morning program this morning. Fill up your coffee cup, men. Have another donut. I wanted to do this. Let's look at the math. It's a funny thing. You know, if a chase driver does not win today, then, as we know, the finale next Sunday, the championship, the Super Bowl of NASCAR's whole year, which is what Brian France and Mike Felton had talked about at the beginning of the year. It'll possibly end up based upon tiebreakers and points, ultimately, no matter how much they had emphasized the mantra of you got to win. Winning is the thing. So, I mean, I'm looking here. Number one. In the chase, Joey Logano, right? He finished fifth at Martinsville, 12th at Texas. He's in with a finish of 11th or better today. Same can be said for Denny Hamlin. Finished eighth at Martinsville, 10th at Texas. Likewise, Give me an 11 or better. Or, hey, I'll give you a 12th place. That'll be okay if you led a lap. I'll give you 13th place if you led the most laps. And that's what can all play out at Phoenix today. I mean, heck, no batteries required, you're saying? No, it's no wins really are required. There's Newman. We mentioned him at the top of the show, a contender or a pretender. He ran 3rd and 15th, respectively, at Martinsville and Texas. He's going for the title with a finish of 9th or better today, or 10th, or 11th, depending on laps led. I mean, this is just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Yeah, possibly we could see Keselowski do what he did at Talladega. I mean, his feet were to the fire for that race, and he had to win it, and he did. But certainly, he's not alone today in that. I mean, Gordon does not control his fate, essentially. Kenseth, Edwards, Harvick, 5 drivers really have no control over their own destiny unless they win today. Or unless we see one of these top 3 mathematically eliminated from the get. Logano, hey, what if he wrecks? He gets a DNF, that's going to change everything. Same thing with Hamlin, possibly Newman. Any speculation? Any speculation on it? We're going to the shortest track of the chase. This is just 312 laps around the 1-mile oval. So this makes it, as far as distance, one of the shortest tracks that we've seen. It's been reconfigured. They've repaved it. There's increased banking. They have particularly hard tires that are authorized for use here. As a matter of fact, during practice and that, a lot of guys were just running out and they were using scuffs because they were actually finding they were getting better grip than with the brand new tire on the vehicle. It does shape up to be a fast race in just about every way today. Any thoughts on some of that I've just thrown at you, Ben?
Well, yeah, you're right. It is the shortest distance race because they for whatever reason, have always run this as a 500-kilometer race. I don't know why it's a kilometer race. NASCAR is an American sport. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have any of them. But, you know, I
it's
I
a
think
violation.
Yeah, it is kind of a violation if you think about it. If you think about it, though, you know, somebody's going to do, my prediction is I think one of these guys is going to win. One of the Chase guys is going to win today, and I'm thinking it's Harvick. I think Keselowski, even though he did it before under the gun, as Sidekick pointed out earlier, he just doesn't run that well at this track. He'll be lucky to make it in my book. Logano will probably squeak in only because he's so far out in front. So I'm looking for Harvick. I think Harvick's going to just tear this up today. That's just my guess. What do you think, Sidekick? Anybody looking good to you?
Yeah, you know, Harvick definitely. He's won 3 of the last 4 races here. Harvick looks good. Looking at his runs, you know, in the first and second practice, he was the fastest car. But, you know, where I'll differ with you is, you know, you got Joey Logano, who we said typically runs bad here. He broke track record this time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And who did he break? Whose record did he break? Brad Keselowski's record.
Wow.
So on the pole right now, you got Denny Hamlin and Brad Keselowski.
Right.
Which I think some people may be kind of happy that Brad's up front and not towards the back trying to bulldoze his way through the pack. you know what I mean? He may be better up front. Of course, that just means that all of his enemies are behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see him
bigger
getting
target.
Really, really acquainted with some of that nice, pretty blue wall we've been seeing.
Yeah,
all weekend.
That was
yeah.
Funny.
I think somebody's putting him in that blue wall. That's all I can say.
Oh,
I'll be stunned if nobody goes after him.
Well, and I kind of said it last week, and I've said it pretty much through the chase. I don't think you're going to see a driver ruin his chance at advancing to get his retribution.
Right.
But
I hear you.
But you might see somebody outside, i.e., Casey Kane.
A team member. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Casey Kane doesn't have anything to lose by dumping
right.
old Brad.
Right.
And And there's a little tiff there, you know. His crew got dinged on that fight from last week.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may see somebody, you know, Harvick's currently sitting in eighth place in points, you know, and is going to be eliminated. You know, if he's not running well and, you know, he's a lap down or, you know, anything like that, and it looks like he's not advancing, why not take him out?
Absolutely. You know, I can't help but think back to Richmond from last year's season just prior to the chase, and we had, of course, the spin from Clint Bowyer. Essentially, it was an attempt among three team drivers, it was Waltrip, to affect the outcome of the race. I'm not saying that'll necessarily happen, but tell me I'm crazy. That kind of thing could happen again at today's event because of some of the reasons that you've both brought up. There is a need for retribution. While a leader may not be the one to bring down the hammer, I have teammates, right? I've got teammates that might be willing to. So it does play into, you know, that was some mad fines and crazy stuff with that Richmond thing and the Waltrip fallout. But I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility. I mean, again, am I crazy? Am I nuts? Am I seeing too much here?
No, I think it's possible. Go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, Clint Bowyer spun last week.
Mm-hmm.
At Texas.
Yes,
and the first thing I thought was, did he
have
an itch?
Here we go. Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind. Did he have an itch?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think, due to the extensive amount of penalties and stuff, I don't think you're going to see a teammate or somebody do, you know, pull out a caution or something like that. You know, I think we've seen that, you know, unless you can really make it look inconspicuous.
Well, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. people are going to be on to you, and they're going to know. And
well,
there's going to be a lot of heat coming down.
Think of it like this. You only got a handful of guys who can really do it because both Penske guys are trying to get in, so they can't really help each other. They both want to make it. So guys like Jimmy Johnson and Junior could, and Casey Kane could do something to help Gordon, maybe. Or maybe somebody like Kyle Busch could do something to help Kenseth or Hamlin. And when I say do something, I'm not saying cause a caution, but maybe drop back a few positions to let a teammate get a higher finish. Something like that could happen.
Oh,
you know, like you said, more inconspicuous. I don't think you're going to see anybody bring out a caution intentionally to help a teammate. I think NASCAR pretty much nipped that last year. I mean, I just don't see any way, you know, anybody's getting away with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
do we see any direct? How about this? How about a direct help? In other words, like maybe spin a contender. I think that's really crossing a line, though, so I don't think you'd see that.
See, and that's the kind of thing I think you could see if it was done right. I think you could see something like that if it was done right and timed right. And, again, it's going to come down to the situation and the circumstance, but all these guys are on radio with their spotters and their crew chiefs. They know exactly what they need to do.
Right.
And they probably know exactly when they want to do it. I don't know. It's just one of those interesting things because should there not be any retribution this week, it might almost set up for either Miami Homestead being arguably the most amped up stress-filled contest, or, hey, maybe Miami Homestead's going to be real, real tame next week because everything's going to have been decided today. Okay, there's going to be no retribution. There's going to be no payback. We're going to be above board, and next week we'll go to Miami, and we're going to run for the title, and four people will be in it, and everybody will move out of their way. You know, I'm not sure which way it'd be better for what NASCAR product is hoping to get, but I think today, more than even next week, Miami Homestead, I think today Something's gonna give, and it'll be on track. That's my contention. I don't think we're gonna see maybe necessarily all of the off track post race fisticuffs and pugilism that we've seen in the last several events, but I think something today might occur drastically. Just my take. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's kind of funny. There's some interesting paint schemes that are being run today. Of course, it's Veterans Day, and NASCAR does a nice job at both Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and the drivers of recognizing our veterans here in America. And I think that's not only is it an all-American thing to do, but it kind of does make NASCAR uniquely American from that standpoint. Of course, one that jumps out to mind, and I shared it up over with the Frat House Sports page. You know, Kyle Larson's going to be running in his number 42. He's going to be running a tribute to the Pat Tillman Foundation this weekend. And, of course, Pat Tillman, graduate from Arizona State, had worn the number 42 jersey when he played there. Of course, he went on and was could have been probably Hall of Famer, maybe, had he stayed in the NFL. And, of course, he lost his life too young in Afghanistan. But my hat's off to Kyle Larson and crew for doing that. I think that's a really, really good thing. And we're in Phoenix, so it all kind of ties together. And the number 23 and the number 83 of BK Racing are featuring a great paint scheme of Dumb and Dumber. And is it true that Brian France is on one car and Mike Helton is on the other? Is that true? Huh? Is that the truth? I thought that's what I heard. No, of course not. I'm crazy. It's Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels from that silly movie, but I just couldn't help a little jibba jab there. Throw that in there. But it'll be fun to see. I know Kyle Busch also, he's running a different paint scheme. So it's going to be interesting to just even find some of our favorite drivers today, as we're going to see maybe some of the regulars running in a slightly different look. Now, listen, here, what we'll do, we got about 10 minutes. Anybody's out there, you want to give us a call, feel free, climb aboard. We're chatting up NASCAR. We're going to make a quick stop over to talk about Nationwide. If you have a thought or a comment, feel free to climb in, 347-826-9964. Now, last night, hopefully, Sidekick, you saw it. Brandon and I sat and watched it at this end at the frat house. Chase Elliott, 18 years old. Is this a great, great feel-good story? He didn't win yesterday's Nationwide Series race at Phoenix, but it didn't matter. He got all of the time that he deserved because he's our youngest champion. He's our first Rookie of the Year championship. Oh, wow. Tell me, how great is this? And, you know, Chase Elliott, Reagan Smith, hey, they just happen to both be that junior motorsports guys, a couple of drivers in that stable. What do you think? Was this great stuff or what?
No, that's awesome. And it's, you know, it's Junior's first championship as an owner.
As an owner.
With Chase Elliott. So, you know. I wonder, when are we going to start seeing Mr. Chase up there running with the big boys?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were hinting at that in the broadcast yesterday that, you know, they interviewed Hendrick, and he said, yeah, he's going to spend one more year there, but you might see him in a couple one-off races next year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I do, too. I mean, we've got Ty Dillon, right? This would be brother of Austin Dillon. Now, Ty has run at the lower tiered level. He's going to be running in the Sprint Cup race today at Phoenix. So you're absolutely right, Brandon, you know, and Sidekick. I mean, what's great is you can get those one-offs where some of these youngsters can, you know, they'll surface at the bigger level. And you know, he's a heck of a driver. My God, the kid is really, really fun to watch. And I just love that number 9 Napa car. I don't know what it is. It's, you know, that's so rooted in history, I guess. I just love that vehicle. I think that's outstanding. You know, they were setting off the alarm in Dawsonville.
I'm real curious to see if Hendrick does anything this season to try to get that number from Richard Petty Motorsports. Because Richard Petty Motorsports, you know, they're going in a whole different direction with Sam Hornish Jr. next year in their number 9 ride. And if they have, you know, the opportunity to maybe do a number switch that could get the nine into Hendrick's, you know, control for the following season when Chase comes up, that would be really cool. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it or not, but, you know, it'd be neat if Richard Petty, you know, had a deal with a different sponsor or something and they wanted to change a number and free that up for Chase Elliott, because that would just be perfect. Him driving to nine.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, yesterday's results, you know, just for our own edification. In fact, Keselowski won that race, the nationwide race. Kyle Busch, my goodness, more than 180 laps led. Kyle Busch certainly looked like the favorite. It was a pretty exciting finish there as literally Keselowski came up at the last moment and took away the lead from Kyle Busch, who looked like he was certainly going to glide in for the checkered, but it was Keselowski and Busch. Elliott Sadler pulled up third. It was Ty Dillon, who I mentioned before, he went fourth. And, of course, Chase Elliott got a top five finish and, as we know, has clinched first time, youngest ever at a National Series level champion and first Rookie of the Year champion for the Nationwide. Next year, of course, we'll know it as the Infinity Series. So jot that down, men, because that'll be an answer to a future trivia question. Who was the last guy to win Nationwide when it was under that banner? And what can you tell me about that champion, Chase Elliott, 18 years old? Absolutely just fantastic. Now, on the other side of it, we had the Camping World Truck Series. That, too, is getting close to winding down. Leader Matt Crafton continues to sit in the lead. That is, unlike Nationwide, though, that's gonna have to go to Miami Homestead, and then we'll have a crown champion, because Matt Crafton is the leader by a mere 25 points. Ryan Blaney, right there, he's been there all year. He's 25 points behind, and Darrell Wallace Jr. at 46 points behind. It would appear it's not going to be Bubba's year, but you never know. You never know. He's another one of our favorites here at the Frat House, right? Darrell Bubba Wallace Jr. Sitting in third place. Maybe something magical can happen. I don't know. What do you think next week for Bubba to advance for a championship in the Camping World Truck Series? I don't know if either of you saw that race. Of course, that one runs usually Fridays, as it did this week. I try to catch it on Friday night, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and a lot of these drivers did double and triple duty, which makes it kind of fun at Phoenix, as it was in Texas, because all three national series are all running at the same locations in the same weekend, and it's very, very right. Cool stuff.
Oh, yeah, which actually I forgot to mention earlier. Now we got to talk about the other champ, the other series. You know, Brad, you know, Bad Boy Brad won yesterday in the Nationwide race.
Right. Yes, he did.
And that, so yes, and he's did. Sitting on the pole. So that's another, you know, thing to watch for him. So,
well, watching that race, that NASCAR basically set that up for him to steal that from Kyle Busch.
Where did
they
that
threw a
come from?
Garbage yeah. debris caution with two laps to go,
right?
For no yeah. reason.
And that's what did it. That's
what
it came
did
down.
It.
That's what it
Kyle
came down.
Kyle had that race won.
Yep.
And they basically gave Keselowski the opportunity to steal it, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's just, you know, the tires. Maybe tires were better. I don't know, but whatever reason. You know, that restart was all Brad needed to take that one.
Yeah, it did seem somewhat contrived and controlled. Nationwide similarly had a late caution flag that came out, but it was more like five or six laps to go, and it didn't go to green, white, checker. I tend to agree with you as we stood and looked at it yesterday, Brandon. I was sort of like, wow, oh, where'd this caution come from? What's this about? And
well,
really all it was about was to control the restart. And as you say, I tend to agree. It was sort of a gimme for Keselowski.
The television guys were looking for the caution, could not find
Couldn't
nothing.
Find
only
it.
They only had to be told by NASCAR, oh, it was for debris. Come on now.
Yeah.
With two laps
yeah.
to go, you're going to throw a caution for debris. and then mm-hmm. force a green-white checkered, that's just, no.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of who shot, John. I agree with you. All right, listen, I'm going to touch on this. We got about 5 minutes to go, a little more than 5 minutes to go, but I'm going to touch on this. This is, we're going to file this under the realm of speculation until we hear anything further or anything concrete. But obviously it created a lot of buzz on Friday, and it continued to percolate. It didn't really ramp up, but it continued to percolate yesterday through the sport. And that was the revelation that the Dover police are currently investigating a report from September 26th of domestic violence involving the driver of the 41, and that would be Kurt Busch, not Kyle Busch, but Kurt Busch, who runs with Stuart Haas. This certainly sounds, you know, inflammatory. Some of the information I was able to glean about this gal, Patricia Driscoll evidently is a defense contractor in Washington, D.C., evidently holds a reasonably respectable position. She's the head of the Armed Forces Foundation, and it would seem as though it kind of flies in the face of this gal just looking to be, notorious and after a money grab from driver Kurt Busch. At the same time, on the other side, what we have heard is that, no, in fact, Kurt Busch had a relationship with her. That relationship was ended. She attempted to, you know, through text messages back and forth with him, she attempted to reconnect, and she did so the weekend of the Dover race in September. And all of this played out essentially in his motorhome there at the track. I don't know any opinions on this. We've heard about, you know, the outlaw, but he seems to have calmed down. Do you think anybody want to speculate on where you see this going?
Well, I think it's too early. We're in the early stages. I mean, we've read a lot of, you pointed out a lot of stuff, you know, that's out there, and there's not much more than that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that you got to keep in mind is if, you know, this is such a heinous act, why wait 6 weeks to report it? I mean, that's not, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of it so far. I do think this, if it proves to be true, Kurt Busch could be in trouble. His career mm-hmm. in NASCAR could be over, especially after, you know, he's had, you know, anger issues in the past. I'm sure
right.
Sidekick would can agree on some of the history there.
Yeah, what do you think,
absolutely.
Sidekick? Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know, they're talking about, you know, she had some bruising on her face. She left the hauler. She went and got ice from another hauler. But yet none of this seemed to come up. There was no, you didn't hear any underground scuttlebutt. And then all of a sudden, here this comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, six weeks later, you know, obviously there, you know, he was, you know, upset after the race, was talking about, you know, suicide potentiality, I think is what I read in one report. And then they kind of got into a little tiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the media here, of course. What does the media do? Well, Kurt Busch is all known about being a violent person. His name is the Outlaw. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Let's
right.
frame this whole thing again
mm-hmm.
and push it up. And, you know, like with the Stewart incident and everything, you know, look, the guy's innocent until proven guilty. Stop trying to hang a guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, I'm not mm-hmm. necessarily the hugest Kurt Busch fan. I'm just saying, you know, let this play out. Let the police do their job. Stop meddling in it. And let's find out what is going on.
Right.
And then when the police release their report, then have a field day. Now, having said that, I agree with Brandon. Due to the light of domestic violence this year, with Ray Rice and everything else going on, and this would really be Kurt Busch's third strike, he's done and he's out. I don't
right.
see him in NASCAR after this.
It could be very, very interesting. We're going to see how it plays out.
See,
all right, listen.
This leads real quickly.
We're out of time. Okay. Yeah, I mean, we got about 10 seconds, unfortunately. I know. Maybe we'll pick up on this next week. Absolutely is what we'll do. Thanks, folks, for listening. Thank you, men, both, for joining me today. It's always a pleasure chatting motorsports. Frat House Radio Network, keep it in mind. Give us a like over here on Blog Talk Radio for NFL Program, Frat House Sports Show, Frat House Saturdays, and Race Trim Motorsports right here on Sunday. Men, enjoy your Sunday, and let's go racing, boys. Boogity, boogity, boogity.